What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Hello and welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and I'm so happy that you tuned in today for us. Today we're going to be talking about some wonderful points of awakening people within to find the peace in the world. And I have a beautiful guest, Rhonda Joy Eagle, who's an author and peace builder, lives in Israel, with us today. And so we'll get into a book she's written and some wonderful points about how you can find that peace within yourself and move forward in your community to transform your community as well. So as always, though, I open the show with a quote and I end it with a Peace Brain meditation. So please stay tuned to the very end for that beautiful transformative meditation. So the quote today is an interesting one. I have a whole collection of quotes and I just go in there and kind of see what calls our names for the show today. And this one is a quote actually from the Universal House of Justice from the Baha'i Faith. And this is a letter that was written by them in 1974, actually addressing, talking about all of humanity. So here's the quote. What they desperately need to know is how to live their lives. They need to know who they are, to what purpose they exist, and how they should act towards one another. And once they know the answers to these questions, they need to be helped to gradually apply these answers to everyday behavior. It is to the solution of this basic problem of mankind that the greater part of all our energy and resources should be directed. So I like this quote because this is exactly what I believe we're going to talk about today, is how do we know who we are, what purpose we exist for, and how we should act towards one another. And then how do we do this in everyday life? How do we awaken to the greater self that we are and as a collective of humanity? And really, this is where our energy and resources need to be pointed, need to be at least brought into awareness that I can take my purpose and what I'm working on, for example, books and classes and things like that, to take those resources and put it towards this greater good, if you will, of waking up humankind, of pointing humankind in this direction, that we can bring in this beautiful, peaceful Earth, this fifth dimensional, as I like to call it, Earth, and one that is really filled with cooperation and unity and love and peace. So enjoy that quote. And we will be talking about this amazing awakening up with my guest today, Rhonda Joy Eagle. Let me read you her bio, her introduction. She's just an amazing person. We collaborated a few years ago, and I followed her work, and I encourage you to follow it as well. Her website, by the way, is rhondajoyeagle.com, and that is rhondajoyeagle.com. So Rhonda Joy Eagle is a writer, a storyteller, therapist, sound healer, mystic, conscious explorer, and conflict resolution mediator. She is passionately dedicated to the awakening of human awareness in support of the planetary shifts happening on the Earth. Rhonda Joy teaches people techniques to help them upgrade their lives and to become their own self-healers, as well as how to collaborate to improve the lives in the community and mutual support. She also offers crystalline matrix sound healing, rewiring process, individual sessions, cranial sacral therapy, soul discovery individual sessions, ancestral and past life DNA reprogramming sessions, and a soul discovery 6-week empowerment program. She's just published a book, which is just delightful. I purchased it and have almost finished reading it. I have like 2 chapters to go at the end. It's very beautifully written. It uplifts the soul when you read it. It's called Pathway to Presence, Tales of the Awakening Ones, and it takes us on a heart and mind-opening journey from the fall of consciousness to the awakening of the golden age of peace. It is really a story of you and I, and of our ancestors, our ancient ancestors, who live and breathe through our hearts and cellular memory. May we all be blessed with the new awakening light codes within us and join in mutual creativity, love, and compassion to co-create lasting, dynamic peace in our world. So I encourage you to find out more about this book and go to her website, rhondajoyeagle.com, and then her book is also shown there, and you can also find it on Amazon as well. So, Rhonda Joy, please welcome to the Peace Brain Show.
Thank you, Gail. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's delightful to be talking with you today. And gosh, we have so much to cover. I really want to talk a little bit first about your book. What inspired you to write this? How did it come to you?
It began coming to me as transmissions, kind of like channeled transmissions. And it's really the story of the fall and incremental rise in consciousness that we're now in. The fall of consciousness of humanity many tens of thousands of years ago. And then the slow incremental awakening that many of us have had in this lifetime, other lifetimes, and how we're gradually coming together to recreate more unity and harmony and collaboration on the planet.
That's beautiful. And you say these were channeled transmissions. What prompted them? I guess, were you in meditation one day and you received messages and said, gee, I need to write these down or I need to channel them for humanity? Or how did they come to be?
Okay, I can actually feel when they're coming through because it's a different vibration than my normal brain pattern. And I would just begin to write them down and just not filter anything out as I was writing and look at them afterwards.
Wow.
And it was part of my own process of awakening and seeing the different paradigms on Earth and the different control paradigms of humanity and within humanity. So it's definitely more of a transmission, but also related to different teachings that I'm a part of and have been a part of in my own inner exploration.
You know, I didn't ask you this beforehand, but would you like to read a passage or two from the book?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to.
Just to give our listeners the sense of it, it is beautifully written.
So I'll read one of the shorter chapters. Is that okay?
Surely, of course.
Okay, so this one's called Fulfillment. Okay, and it goes like this. And so, as a result of the great fall of consciousness that humankind had experienced, there was still a deep sense of wanting to be fulfilled and to become whole. The sense of longing to somehow complete and become whole again was ever so prevalent as a result of the events that had caused fragmentation and loss of integration and inner unity. This inner unity was the foundational connection to collective unity consciousness and could not be felt without inner unity and integration being present within. The fall, due to its multiple layers of separation, had affected the very DNA of every living thing on the planet, because all planetary systems are deeply interconnected and interdependent. One could not exist without the resonant support of the others. This is cosmic and planetary law. The fall had created deep amnesia regarding this sacred interconnection. As a result, there was a sense of every man for himself, creating a great disregard for the wisdom and intelligence of cooperation and collaboration. This birthed competition and a deepening sense of angst and survival fear. It wrapped itself into and deeply encoded the human DNA until it became a part of every human being on the planet. And so whether rich or poor, the angst and fear of never having enough was always present. And so because of this disregard for cooperation, every system was seen as separate and independent, and planetary systems were ignored, causing devastation to the environment, and deep psychic, emotional, and physical sickness became rampant. Thankfully, there were still several indigenous societies and communities who remembered the interconnectedness and fervently protected it for millennia, despite the growing and deepening separation around them. Excuse me. They had been called primitive, and their ways were said to be too simple and non-productive. Their historical stories, meant to be sacred teachings, were diminished and called legend, or worse yet, fairy tale, as if there were no real truth in them. They had suffered at the hands of conquering forces who forced them to conform to their own heartless and loveless ways. They were forced to maintain their sacred practices in secret, or not at all. Despite it all, they never gave up or lost hope, for they knew that they were the keepers of these sacred systems based on love, collaboration, community, and welcome diversity. They were the ones now to be thanked, for they knew that a great time of awakening and renewal would come, and so it finally had, incrementally yet perceptively, on multiple levels. A new respect for them had awakened even in the non-Indigenous, for although they had been born into a fragmented society, the deep inner memory of harmonious existence of the past impulsed them to continue seeking it out. They could feel their ancestral energies and those of Gaia calling them to remind them of what was just, honoring, and beautiful. And so what began as a long period of amnesia and pain grew into an era of the remembrance of the web of all life awakening and pulsating in the very vibrational fields of humankind and Gaia.
So again, if you just tuned in, we're talking with Rhonda Joy Eagle and her book, Pathways to Presence. Rhonda Joy, that is just beautiful. I love the hope that comes in from this, even though the pain that we all are seeing with our disconnectedness is so prevalent and also pointed in your book. There is so much hope and awareness to, yes, we can change this around. Was that your intention of putting this all together?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that pain is also a teacher and an awakener if it's directed in the right way. Because I'm a trauma therapist and I deal with trauma almost on a daily basis, one of the ways to heal it is to help a person actually feel the feelings that have been caught or frozen within their system in a very sacred and safe space. And by allowing people to do that in a very monitored way, that is where the real healing is. Because by taking a pill and an analgesic so that we don't feel the pain, that it's just a band-aid. It's just a cover-up for something that's really, really asking for our attention and love and compassion.
Yes, and I'm thinking about the body. We need to acknowledge our physical body and what it feels, both mental and physical and emotional. And really, as the spirit in charge of the body or owning the body, if you will, as its vehicle for existence, it's important to acknowledge all of the hurt, all of the things that are going on, and all of the misconceptions maybe that that one may have picked up over our lifetimes of, you know, not good enough, or the not only physical traumas, but the emotional traumas is what I'm getting at. Just to acknowledge the body and to tell it it can be okay. You can go forward, in other words, and release it and become who you truly are. Yeah, thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that I come across while working with people is how much trauma they're actually carrying that is not theirs personally. It could be ancestral trauma. It could be karmic trauma from different lifetimes. It is not theirs, but they are carrying other people's trauma. And so it always helps to give whatever the pain is some kind of focus so that it can express itself and thereby create a new inner order within the tissues.
Ooh, I like that. I can see that happening. I like that. That feels really good. And also the trauma many times can come from mass consciousness, just the outside world. I mean, we see so many imbalances right now happening on the earth, and I think it's happening to bring awareness, to bring it up as you're just speaking, to give it a name, to be able to talk about it and find solutions and release it and change it into a new way of being.
Yes, I agree. And once it's talked about, and when people can identify with it and resonate with it, and it goes something like, you know, oh, I felt that too, and I feel that too, it gives solace. It gives some kind of comfort that opens the heart so that then things can be processed in a much more open, organized, and heartfelt way.
Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about trauma and talking about the imbalances, I know you work with sound healing and crystalline matrix healing, vibrational healing. Tell us a little about the importance of sound.
Sound can never be underestimated. We are sound. Our bodies are what our bodies are. We have several bodies, not just the physical body. We have the physical, emotional, mental, psychological and karmic body, and they're all, each body is a body unto itself, resonating at its own specific frequency. And it's like, you know, those babushka dolls, one doll, those Russian dolls.
Yes.
So they're like, you know, these Russian dolls, one inside the other. And in order to create harmony, each body has to have some kind of harmonic that works with the other harmonics of all the other bodies. Okay, and so if one body is out of whack, it'll take the whole system out of whack, like a domino effect. And so what sound healing does, sound healing circumvents the mind and the ego and goes directly into the tissues to create this inner harmony, okay? Not only the physical tissues, but our whole electromagnetic field and our psychic field as well. And it goes way, way beyond. It goes straight into the DNA and creates a new order inside very, very easily. It's very magical.
So I know that I've had experience with tuning forks. Is it kind of like that, where you strike the tuning fork at a certain vibration and then your body or another tuning fork, for example, will resonate at the same vibration?
Very much so. Very much so. And so the way I work with crystal bowls, and I work with Tibetan bowls, I work with my voice. And part of the way I've been trained by the higher beings that are my guides, they have helped me to be able to hear the imbalance in a person's system and actually sing the resonant frequency into the system.
Wow.
It was very incremental. At first I would hear the imbalance and then I would sing the imbalance, but now I don't need to sing the imbalance. I can hear the frequencies of the I call them the person's personal soul song to help them remember, literally come back together and reconnect to who they are on a very deep level.
Wow, that's so beautiful. So how would one experience this? You have personal sessions, you are in person, or can you do this through Skype, etc.?
Yeah, I do it on Skype. I do it through personal sessions. I do them on the phone. And usually the way we start is we work on some kind of issue that the person is working on in their own lives. Very often we do something that's called somatic experiencing, which is a beautiful trauma method, a trauma healing method that I use. And then what we do towards the last third or half of the session is I will then sing the harmonics of the healing vibes, the healing vibration. And so that creates this whole new field and foundational energy for a person to work with afterwards.
That's beautiful. So what comes to mind is when you describe that, is that we can, I believe you've done sort of like global events or regional events where what's coming to my vision right now is singing to the earth and singing to the people on the earth kind of in a, to generally balance a certain subject or a certain issue. Have you done that? Do you do that?
Yes, I've done that before. Yes. Uh-huh.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have any events like that coming up that people can join?
Not specifically, but you're giving me a good idea, Gail.
Okay, go for it.
All right, yeah.
2018, here we go.
Yeah, okay.
It's such a beautiful vision of not only what can happen on the individual level, but on the group and consciousness level as well. And of course, back to your book then, that's what that is all about, is waking up.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the next stage of the book is actually to record it, for me to actually recite the book with my crystal bowls and my own voice, creating a foundation beneath it so that all of these codes, whether they're the spoken word or the crystalline matrix sound and my voice, will reach people no matter where they are on their spiritual path or self-development path.
Oh, I love it. So two things come to mind. That obviously would be an audiobook, like through Amazon or whatever, correct?
Either that or videos that people can access with sacred geometry in them as well.
Yes.
So they're also even in, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And I want to also turn you on, if you don't know, to iBooks Author. It's an Apple, you know, Macintosh platform. So anyone with a Macintosh device can read the iBooks. But iBooks are very interesting because they're not just ebooks, but they are also, you can embed videos, you can embed audio, you can put questionnaires that people can actually email in, all within the iBook. So
wonderful.
You might try, explore that medium to do this multidimensional book that you're talking about. It sounds fascinating.
Oh, I'll find out. What happens with people that have Android?
Unfortunately, they haven't connected yet, but I think that's a future, because think about it. Okay, go back to Harry Potter, you know, and the moving newspapers, et cetera. I think we are going in the direction of not just reading our books, but as you said, hearing it, feeling it, seeing the colors, the vibrations, being able to communicate, being able to tap on things and get an expanded glossary or explanations of different parts of the book, etc. And all of that is currently available in the iBooks Author, in iBooks of someone who uses iBooks Author to create the book. And I can't imagine that it won't spread out later on. They're using it actually in schools for kids to be able to take tests and have multidimensional experiences within that coursework.
How beautiful. For those reasons specifically, I love technology. I really thank technology when it's used for a higher purpose like that. Mm-hmm. So beautiful.
So beautiful. For your book, I think it would be a beautiful synergy. Yeah.
I'll definitely look into it.
Anyway, so back to, you have done so much. I want you to talk a little bit about your journey to peace and why that's important to you. And then a little bit, we can get into a little bit later about where you live and how that's important, or vice versa. You can start with that, whichever. What's comfortable for you.
Okay. Okay, so I was born in Canada, and I've spent most of my life living in Israel. And living in Israel has brought me to a lot of the healing modalities that I use, especially the trauma, etc. And now I find myself living 5 kilometers from the Syrian, to the southern part of the Syrian border, which can be very challenging, very, very, very challenging, because there are days where we hear the shelling when they're down in the southern part of Syria. And me being an empath, sometimes it really sucks me in, and I actually go into the trauma. But I have trained myself, for the most part, to hold my center and just send them love and compassion. But it's very trying. And it's just being in the field that I live in. There's also a lot of tension between Jews, Arabs, Christian Arabs, Muslim Arabs. There are also Druze and Circassians. It's really a multicultural society, and for the most part it works, but there are clashes. So for me to be able to hold my own inner peace, I think that is what contributes to the field that I carry. And my hope and my intention is that as more of us are able to hold the inner peace, that we create a field of critical mass that just kind of ripples everywhere. And there are a lot of people in Israel that that do interfaith circles. We have a lot of sacred sound circles that people do. And I myself and my partner and I, we've led different workshops with both Jews and Arabs, mostly Christian Arabs, and it's just amazing because people just see that people are people, and we all want and need the same thing. We all have the same needs, and basically, our foundation is love and understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yes, that's beautiful, and you're right there. It's so important. Someone had said when Israel and the Middle East, in other words, can achieve peace, the entire world will be at peace. So yes. I feel like you are in the crux of doing the work on the very soil that needs to have it the most. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. I was in Europe, I think about 6 months ago, also doing a deeply spiritual process. And I had this whole process where I was shown how to inject different colored fire into the grids of Israel, the Middle East, into the borders. I live very close to the border. We call it the triple border, the border that where Israel, Jordan and Syria meet. Mm-hmm. And I was shown how to inject sacred white fire to clear that area. Very interesting that you mentioned that. It was a very deep experience for me.
I'm getting
and it took it took being out of the field for me to be able to get that teaching. So it was very
yes.
Yeah.
I'm getting chills as you talk about this. That is just beautiful. Yeah. A very sacred part of Israel. So you're not very far from Haifa, then?
We're about an hour and a half from
Haifa.
We're not that close either. Okay. Yeah, we're east. We're northeast.
Got it. Okay, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. There is such complexity in the human race of how we view power and what is important. I listened to a talk from the Jimmy Carter Center here in Atlanta on peace in Syria and what it would take. And with so many different factions and needs, it's a very complex issue. And so I think you are correct that light workers and awakened people sending love and grace and the white fire, as you said, to it is probably the most potent thing that can happen.
I hope so. I mean, I have to have the hope. Otherwise, living here becomes Not pleasant.
Good point.
Yeah, because when people lose hope around me, I just say, no, you can't lose hope. You cannot mm-hmm. lose hope. It's not an option. It really isn't.
Wow.
It is not an option.
So let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, hope is, you're right, hope keeps us going. Hope is the fervor or the faith, if you will, that we can move around obstacles, that there can be a new path, I guess, to choose from. It brings choice. Yeah. So how does that come into your play? I mean, I would think that would be central to any trauma healing, is to bring hope that there's another way that it can be done.
Yeah, hope is a huge resource. Hope, dovetails not only with belief, but with the healing vortex as opposed to the trauma vortex. Mm. There's always a healing vortex. Like, if you can imagine a figure eight, there's the trauma vortex that's dying to pull you in. And that's what it's alive for. It's raison d'être. But across from it, in a figure eight, is the healing vortex. Mm. So one of the ways to help people empower is to direct them to the healing vortex and use the their own innate resources, whether it's their belief system or whatever resources they have, and sometimes to help them change their belief systems to be able to uphold that healing vortex and therefore their inner core, and to be more centered and less affected by what's happening on the outside, and by doing that, actually changing their inside, so their outside circumstances begin to shift. Because by changing our own inside, our outside story is going to change as well. And our mm-hmm. outside circumstances and the things that, quote, happen to us will recede. And what we experience will be elevated.
Exactly.
Because when people tell me, you don't know what happened to me, and I go, okay. And then I try to help people shift themselves into, okay, this is something I experienced. It did not happen to me. It was in my experience. And then to give them some kind of foundation of actually recreating or creating what they actually want in their life, and to know that they have a choice.
Yes.
And that can really, really help them shift.
Yes. I think we get stuck when we feel we don't have a choice. That's very key.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and when we feel trapped, there's no place to go. But when you bring about that choice of, I love what you just said about it's your experience. And so perhaps then I would say, what are the lessons from that experience? Then what kind of experience do you want to create going forward? As you just said, it starts to move the story in a new direction. Yeah, excellent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hmm.
So you mentioned to me before we started the show that you may have a second book coming out. Would you like to kind of put a teaser up for that one? Or
Not yet.
All right.
I was just given the overall
Yep.
What did I say?
No worries.
Yeah. Yeah, let's skip that for now. Yeah.
Okay. So
I remember when I was involved in a shamanic a sacred shamanic dance for many, many years. And one of the things that we used to tell the dancers, it was a fasting dance, and it was a sound and like it's a sacred sound and movement dance. And we would always tell the dancers that those of you who had visions during the dance, hold them inside for 3 months, let them gestate. And if you want to speak to any of the healers who are in the circle, that's okay. But don't start spreading too much of the energy out, otherwise it gets diluted. So it's kind of like that.
And I agree. You're absolutely correct. And first of all, this book just came out, and so I'm very excited for people to find out more about Pathways to Presence, Tales of the Awakening Ones, because that is so powerful just in itself. It brings that hope that we were just talking about, and that clarity of, oh, this is what's going on in the world, and all right, I get it. if one didn't feel the story within their own heart, because I think it really does resonate with most of us, of like, oh yes, that's what I felt. That's what I figure humanity has gone through, and I see my place in this bigger picture. So thank you for writing that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Make my heart swell.
Well, and I love that it's written, and thank you for reading that excerpt. I love that it's written in this narrative storytelling form that doesn't necessarily have, you know, it doesn't have a protagonist and an antagonist and a plot and a, I mean, it does, but it's such a beautiful, almost a fable quality to it that is just a joy to read. I feel like I'm a child reading a beautiful children's book in a way that's this universal story.
Oh, so, thank you.
So I'd love to see, as you said later on, perhaps not only the sound, but I encourage visuals for it as well, if that's appropriate. I think we all can create those visuals, of course, in our mind as we read it. So it's beautiful that way.
Yeah, but that was the idea, to have all of the senses engaged.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, I'm in the process of inviting in the next step, the next
right.
stage of how to do that and who to do it with, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah.
So back to the concept of peace. We've both been talking about finding that peace inside or creating that peaceful inside. How can one, and that everyone's on a different path, how can one move forward to begin to start to find that peace, depending on, you know, not knowing maybe what path they're on? How does a general public or someone listening begin?
It's interesting what just came to me. This is something I did not intend to talk about. And I am answering your question. I'm an empath. And it took me years and years and years to get out of this stance of self-criticism about how sensitive I am and how sometimes all kinds of energy being stuck in my system as a result of me being in touch with different people or going through malls or whatever. And the first answer to your question would be for people to learn how to cleanse their systems, both nutritionally and psychically. That's one. And the other thing is to get quiet, to get out of the noise that's around us, whether it be the news or busy malls. In other words, I'm not saying not to go there at all, but to realize that our systems are very sensitive. Our nervous systems are very sensitive, and they're so sensitive that they pick up anything. And they don't always release what we've picked up. And so this is really key to do a meditation once or twice a day, to clear our systems using white fire or the violet flame or whatever. There are so many different meditations out there. You just need to open YouTube and find them. And that's my first recommendation, to realize that our nervous systems may be flooded all the time, okay? And to ask yourself, am I comfortable with sitting quietly, or do I fall asleep immediately, okay? That could be a flooded system, okay? Because we have fight, flight, or freeze, okay? In terms of when our nervous systems are overwhelmed, okay, we can either want to fight our opponent or flee, or we go into a freeze, which means that we either we withdraw or we actually fall asleep. That is our nervous system shutting us down so that we don't need to take any more adverse energy. So this is really key, to learn how to clear your own system, and also to learn how to create an environment that is beneficial to your system, whether it's nutritional or your inner environment in your home, all the way down to healthy light bulb. Little things like that.
Yes.
They affect us. All of this stuff really affects us. And many people don't realize how deeply we're affected by all of this.
Wow. Great points. I love the fact that you were just saying about being quiet, and that if we fall asleep, we've probably been too overloaded. And you're right. Things are I've used the word chaotic, but in other words, the world is very fast right now. There is very much with technology. So many things are coming at us day to day that didn't used to be available to us to focus on or to receive. And so we have all these things we're receiving from information from many multiple sources, as well as you said, the different energies in our environment, from our light bulbs to our just all of the noise that might be around. Can you hear nature? Like I just a second ago, a bird is singing outside my window right at this moment, but I can hear that. So it's nice that my windows are not so closed off, or that I have an opportunity to feel and see nature, the sunlight coming through my windows right at the moment. To stay connected to our inner core is really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And there are many ways to do it. And it's very easy now that most people have lots of access to technology and YouTube and anything. It's very easy to find ways to do that, and to do it gradually, bit by bit, even if it's 5 minutes a day.
Exactly.
Just to make sure, not to check in. Okay, how are we doing? How am I? How are you, Rhonda Joy? How are you doing right now? Are you flooded? Are you feeling safe? Or are you feeling anxious? Okay, why am I anxious? Don't know. I just know there is anxiety in my system. And to begin to address that and let the anxiety know that you know about it. And because everything is vibration. Everything is conscious. Even the anxiety, once it's seen, once it feels that it's seen, it will calm down. It'll calm down.
Exactly.
So, our nervous systems, they're alive. As Deepak Chopra says, the body is not a thing. It's a dynamic process. So it's process, in process, in process, in process. So it's really quite beautiful.
Yes, exactly. And for all of you who may have just tuned in, we're listening to Rhonda Joy Eagle. She lives in Israel, and we were just talking about, also, you are so close to that triple border of Israel, Syria, and Jordan. And being in that stillness, or being able to, if you will, feel that safety, you are speaking from personal experience of what you just shared of finding that quiet time to not overwhelm our nervous systems, and living where you are, I'm sure you've had to develop those patterns, and to teach others around you, if you choose to find that quiet as well, because being in that trauma of war so close is hard, and of course that's the physical manifestation of that war or trauma, but everyone in their own lives has some kind of, if you will, manifestation of that kind of energy that they could connect with if they didn't, what weren't aware, or that would be coming at them if they weren't aware of how to, I won't say block it off, but find your own personal space of ease and calmness and peacefulness.
Exactly. And it dovetails, it goes right into self-responsibility. Nobody can do this for us. We each have to do it for ourselves. We each have to do the clearing and the self-reflection for ourselves.
Oh, darn. You're kidding? You can't just do it for me?
Sorry.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, this is many times where poor people can get stuck, is giving back to oneself, really loving oneself, I think is what it comes down to, of I need to take this time for me, for example. And that of taking that self-responsibility, no one else can do it for us. You're right.
Exactly.
Thank
and
you.
It's not selfish. It's self-full. It's an act of self-love.
Yes.
And if we can be in self-love, then it's very easy to love others. When we're stressed ourselves, then we're not available. We're just not available for others.
Good point. Good point. I had a teacher, my Tai Chi teacher, say the other day that he said the reason we were talking about that the earth is going through all of these changes and that people are really, in many ways, digging into the earth and destroying the earth and not loving the earth and not honoring her sacredness and the interconnectedness, animals and resources. You know, I'll call them resources, but, you know, forests and water and air. And he said, people don't love their own nature within, and that's why they're destroying nature on the outside.
How beautiful. That is so amazing. I totally agree.
I thought that was very profound. So we need to start to love the inner nature of who we are, and as you said, take that self-care to find the peace within, and then it can spread.
Yes, and what occurs to me also that this is not something we've ever been taught. We've been taught comparison. We've been taught high and low. We haven't been taught, you know, this interconnectedness. And as people become more aware of that, or as we help people become more aware of it, then we have a chance. Mm-hmm. We have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, Rhonda Joy, we're getting toward the end of our show. What last few minutes do you want to share with our listeners?
How about a short little sound segment? Would that work?
I love it. Yes.
Okay. So let's do this for Mother Gaia. Okay. So let's all take a deep breath into our hearts. And maybe one more. Okay. Maya. Deep breath in and just allow the sounds and the vibrations to gently percolate within your own energy fields to find any of your areas within your body or your energy system that may want just a little bit of soothing, a little bit of opening, a little bit more light. Take another deep breath in. Thank you. And also, let's all thank ourselves as well.
Thank you. Wow.
Thank you, Gail.
You're very welcome. And as we go into the Peace Brain meditation in just a moment, I want everyone to continue to feel that vibration of that beautiful sounds that you just sung. Oh, Rhonda Joy, thank you for being on the Peace Brain Show.
Oh, Gail S., thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, everyone, you can find out more about Rhonda Joy at rhondajoyeagle.com. That's RhondaJoyEagle.com. RhondaJoyEagle.com. And you can email her at Rhonda@RhondaJoyEagle.com. And her book, of course, Pathways to Presence, Tales of the Awakening Ones, is available on that website and through Amazon as well. So please check that out. That's a beautiful story of how we as humanity are awakening and how you are awakening as well. So take a breath and be present in that beautiful sound vibration that we just heard sung. Give your soul permission to soar and at the same time be in your sacred heart. Really bring your awareness to that heart center, that sacredness of who you are, that divine essence of your being. And take a breath. I always like to say, give yourself a grounding cord. This is an energetic connection between the base of your spine and the center of the planet. And I like to envision a beam of light or a tree trunk coming out of my last vertebrae, going all the way down to the center of the planet and anchoring into Mother Earth. And at the same time, envision through your column of light, your chakras, your spinal column, this beautiful beam of light coming out the top of your head as well and going up to the grid around the planet, this beautiful cosmic planetary light grid. And connect into that grid as well. You are the anchor point between heaven and earth. You are this beautiful being of light. And feel the vibrations that are still vibrating, that are still resonating within your physical body from the sound that Rhonda Joy just sung to us. Feel the healing and the peace, the oneness, the connection, to not only all of the cells within your being, but to the greater part of yourself, to your higher self, your consciousness, your awareness of energy and your awareness of peace, and the choices that you can bring into your life today to bring peace into your life. So feel that quiet space, that inner knowing, and think of one particular thing that you might do today to help bring that resonance, that joy, that peace, both into your inner being and into your outer circumstance, your outer community of life that you're interconnected with, be it at home with relationships, or at your work with your colleagues, or perhaps just in your own performance of doing what you are creating each day. If you're working on a report or mothering your children, helping serve someone else that you're working with, think of how you can bring an act of peace, an act of this beautiful vibration of who you truly are, into that circumstance, into those actions. And take a breath and really begin to embody that wholeness within yourself and to recognize your beautiful capacities, your capabilities, your powerfulness, your graciousness, your peacefulness. And take another breath and really embody that. And perhaps then think of one thing that not only you do today, but that you can become to make a habit, to make a choice of your self-care that you do not only today, but you do tomorrow as well. And add it. Not to overwhelm your plate, but to add it as a beautiful compilation of who you are and what can make you function better on this planet as the talented person that you are, so that you can move your routine around to include this new possibility, this new practice. So I invite you to put a smile on your face and to know that you are so capable and you are so loved and that you are love, that you bring this love and peace into your physical body and your emotional body and your mental body and your spiritual body. And that when you bring it into yourself, it then emanates out into the world, into the community around you. So take a breath and just embody this, be this. And then I invite you to open your eyes with still the smile on your face and to walk throughout your day, your evening, your morning in this new light, in this new vibration. So thank you for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show today. I'm so happy that you've come and heard about Rhonda Joy Eagle and her new book, Pathways to Presence, Tales of the Awakening Ones, because you who are listening, you are the Awakening Ones. It's no accident you're here. It's no accident that you've tuned in today. So please share this with your friends. Enjoy your life. Be that joy and that beautiful vibration of peace. And I invite you to also go to Rhonda Joy's website. That's rhondajoyeagle.com. And if you'd like to know more about me, Dr. Gail Lash, you can go to my website, tourismforpeace.com, or email me at hello@peacebrain.org. So now I invite you to please go forth and activate your peace brain and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Many, many blessings. Namaste. Have a beautiful evening or day, an evening or day of heaven on earth. Blessings.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.